Looks like you're still muted, Brother Dan. Let's see.
Doing well. Got it. That do it?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Okay. I appreciate that prayer that brother offered. It was very sweet. And I trust that you will continue to pray, that the Lord will bless us tonight as we endeavor to speak to you. I was reading recently in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and I came across a verse that I know I've read many, many times, but it never jumped out at me like it did this time. Paul admonishes us in the 14th and 15th verses on how we should live our lives. And then he says in the 16th verse, rejoice evermore. And I got to asking myself what I had to rejoice in. And it's unbelievable how many things that has come to my mind that I've got to rejoice in. I thought about the love of God and how much God loves us. He loved us enough to give his son to come into this sin-cursed and ungodly world and die the shameful, agonizing, and awful death on Calvary's cross. What love that was, that God sent his son to die for sinners such as I am. And then I thought about how my heart rejoices that God has blessed me to see the doctrine of election. And election was based on the love of God that he had for his children before the world was created. I just love that verse in Ephesians 1. The 4th verse, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that something to rejoice in, that God has blessed our hearts to understand that we have been elected in Christ Jesus, and one day we will be presented before the Father, holy, without blame, before him in love. I think that's one of the most wonderful things that I've ever learned since I've been in the church. And then there are so many things that you and I, as God's children, have to rejoice in. Rejoice evermore. That is, just be full of joy. Full of joy. Our hearts should be full of joy for what God has done for us as his children. I think about the first verse in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation, that no one can ever condemn us and separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that thrill our hearts? It does mine. To think that there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to be able to understand and to believe that when Jesus says you must be born again, that work is completely and totally by him. It's wonderful tonight to know and understand in our hearts that God has set us free from the condemnation of sin by the death of his son on the cross. And those that he loves with an everlasting love, he brings them to him through the quickening power of the Spirit of God. That's something to rejoice in. Rejoice evermore. Don't quit rejoicing, because there's no need to quit rejoicing. Think about how wonderful our sweet hope of heaven is. Hope is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which has already entered into the veil where Christ the forerunner has entered. Hope is a fond expectation. And I'm expecting one day, because of God's love, because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, to have a glorified body and live with him forever in heaven. Isn't it wonderful tonight to have something to praise God about? It's not about ourselves, but it's about our great God. I think sometimes how merciful God has been to me in my life. I think about some of the things that he's blessed me with. It just fills my heart with joy to have a good life. That's a wonderful thing, to have a good wife, to have a loving helpmate that sees you through a lot of your troubles and trials of life. What a blessing it is to be able to rejoice in the things of our great God. This meeting has been a blessing to many, I know. You can sit at home and hear the glorious gospel preached from a recliner. I kind of like preaching sitting down myself. I may just try to start that at church. I think Jesus did that. He read the scripture and then sit down and talked. I rejoice when I read such verses as is found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, where that great witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, says that he has cleansed us. He has washed us by his blood from all of our sins. What a blessing it is to be washed from all of our sins. You know, sometimes I don't have enough sense. Sometimes I don't think I do, to really pray like I ought to. But you know what? There's a verse of scripture that's found in the 26th and 27th chapter of the 8th chapter of Romans. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that wonderful? When sometimes we fail to pray, the Spirit of the Almighty God makes intercessions for us. I just love that. I love to think about Christ as he's seated on the throne, making intercessions for each one of us tonight as we're here. It's a glorious time to have the privilege and opportunity to know that Christ loves us enough to intercede for us. Then he says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something that you and I should give glory to God for? Then in the book of Hebrews, always been one of my favorite passages of scriptures, in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we read in the 15th and 16th verses, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find help in time of trouble. Can't you rejoice tonight that there's a throne of grace in heaven that you can go to and find help in time of trouble? I've been through troubles. I've been through heartaches. I've lost 2 children, but I had a throne of grace that I could go to find help in time of trouble. God was there blessing me. God held me up. If it hadn't, I'd never make it through. But God in his great mercy was that great high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows how weak we are. He knows what that we cannot do. Therefore, his hand is outstretched to poor sinners. we have a high priest in heaven that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Give God the glory for that. Rejoice, because God has enabled us as his children to love him and he to love us. Now let's turn over to the book of Peter. In this chapter, Peter tells us in 1 Peter, the 25th verse, "For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Not only is Jesus Christ our shepherd, but he is the bishop of our souls. Bishop means overseer. Christ is overseeing our soul. I rejoice in that. I'm glad he didn't leave it up to me to keep my soul. But he, by his amazing grace, is the bishop of our souls. And he shall one day take us home to be with him in heaven, body, soul, and spirit. This body shall one day be glorified because of what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has accomplished for you and I on Calvary's cross. Now let's turn over to the book of Revelations, the 5th chapter. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I love every verse I trust in the Bible, but this is one that God has enabled me to rejoice in many, many times. We have a scene in the 5th chapter, I believe, a scene in heaven. God is on the throne. 24 elders are seated around. And some news is brought before. There's a book that no one has found worthy to take the seal and loose the seal thereof. But after a while, someone cries out, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and he is able to take the book and to loose the seals thereof." And then these 24 elders began to sing a song, and they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy." Isn't Jesus Christ worthy? He came into this world, born of a virgin, lived over 33 years and never committed one sin. He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory. He's the worthy Lamb of God. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy. Take the book. To take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." He was slain. He was the sacrifice that satisfied the justice of God on our behalf. You and I should rejoice tonight that God in his infinite mercy and grace has satisfied the justice of God, and you and I have been set free from all of our sins. Then he says, "And redeemed us unto God by thy blood." There's nothing I like more in the scriptures than the study of the word redeemed. Redeemed means that God has purchased back his children that were lost, and we are forever saved, and one day we will be with him in glory. Has redeemed us by thy blood. Peter talks about the blood of Christ as being precious. He said, "We're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." His blood is precious. His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. May God help us as we live in this whole world to truly love God and rejoice in what he has done for us. By thy blood, out of every kindred, every family in the world has someone in it, I believe, that's a child of God. And God will take him home to heaven. They may never hear the gospel preached, but they'll hear the voice of the Son of God and live. They'll be quickened by God's grace. And every tongue, every language. A few years ago, I looked up how many languages there were at that time known. I think there were 6,800 different languages. There were 400 and something of those languages that had writing systems. Almost 3,000 of them, or 300 of them, that didn't have a writing system. They've never read the Word of God. That's another thing tonight that you and I can rejoice in, is God's Word that he has given us. He has given us his Word directly from heaven, that you and I, as God's children, can know his will for us while we live here in this world. Thank God for his Word. I pray that when I read God's Word, that he'll open my eyes, that I can see the glorious mysteries that's contained therein. But I'm just satisfied with understanding that salvation is by God's grace. Isn't that wonderful? Grace is something that God has given us that we didn't deserve. And someday, because of it, we'll all leave this old world and go be with him in heaven. I think that that's something that you and I should greatly rejoice in tonight. And we have that wonderful throne of grace that we can go to when we're in trouble to find help. I think that we, as God's children, should rejoice evermore. There are multitudes of things that I have thought about this week and last week that I can truly rejoice in. I can rejoice in that God has blessed me to be reconciled to his will. God has blessed me to have joy in my heart when I see his grace being manifested in our churches. May God have mercy upon us all. May God bless us to be enabled to rejoice evermore. I hope every time I read that verse, it jumps out at me. And I can say, Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you blessed me with. And especially the sweet hope that I have after this life is over of living with thee in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Just think about it. That God has promised us eternal life. He tells us that. God that cannot lie promised eternal life before the world began. And if he promised it to somebody, and that somebody is going to receive it, because God does not lie. He that cannot lie promised eternal life before the world began. I rejoice in that tonight. I rejoice that God promised eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he promised it to will one day live with him in heaven. May God bless you, is my prayer. Thank you, brother.